You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
Imagine you're negotiating a contract. You and the other party agree on every single term. You agree on the price. You agree on the timeline. You agree on the deliverables. You shake hands. You sign the paper. But a week later, everything falls apart because you didn't realize that when you said price, you meant dollars, but they meant like monopoly money. And when you said timeline, you meant next week, but they meant in the next life. You were using the exact same vocabulary, but you were reading from completely different dictionaries. This is kind of what's happening in Mormonism. When Mormons talk to Christians or when Christians talk to Mormons, they're using some of the same language, but they're actually walking into a linguistic minefield. We're talking today about one of the most confusing, frustrating, and vital intersections of faith and culture when it comes to our Mormon neighbors, the Latter-day Saints. What do they actually believe about the Bible? If you ask a Mormon missionary, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? They're going to look you in the eye and they're going to say, absolutely. And they're not lying. They really do believe that the Bible is the Word of God in their context, in their sense. But see, there's this giant invisible asterisk hanging at the end of that sentence. And if you don't spot the asterisk, you'll miss the entire conversation. Today, we're not just talking about theology. We're actually going to look at history. We're going to look at manuscript evidence. We're going to look at the, quote, plain and precious parts conspiracy theory. We're going to see how Joseph Smith didn't just interpret the Bible. He actually wrote himself into the Bible. So buckle up. We're talking about the Bible, quote, as far as it is translated correctly. So let's start with the basics. The LDS Church has 13 articles of faith. This is their core doctrine. It's like their creed, their short, punchy summaries of what they believe. And number 8 is the smoking gun for our topic today. Here's what it says. You can find it right there on the LDS Church website. We believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly. We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God. Now, did you catch the difference? The Book of Mormon gets a period. The Bible gets a disclaimer as far as it is translated correctly. Let me read it again in case you missed it. We believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly. We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God, period. Now, for most of us, when we hear about translation issues, we think, oh, maybe the translator picked the word love instead of the word charity in 1 Corinthians. We think of nuance as Christians. But in Mormon theology, translated correctly, when they use that phrase, that doesn't mean linguistic nuance. It's actually code for a massive historical conspiracy. Here's the backstory you need to know. In the Book of Mormon, specifically in a book called 1 Nephi, there's a vision of the early history of the world. It claims that after the apostles died, a great and abominable church got its hands on the Bible. The LDS claim is that this corrupt church didn't just mistranslate words, they surgically removed entire doctrines. They call these the plain and precious parts. So when a Mormon holds a King James Bible, which by the way is the version that they use, they're actually holding a book that they believe is fundamentally damaged. They think it's like a puzzle with missing pieces. And conveniently, the pieces that are missing are the ones that prove Mormonism is true. Think about what that does to your faith as a Mormon. I know we've got a lot of Mormons or former Mormons or investigating Mormons listening to this podcast. And really what it does is it causes you fundamentally to doubt the Bible, to doubt Christianity. It really ultimately causes you to doubt God himself. Now, that's not how I view it. As an evangelical Christian, I stand on the Bible as the sufficient authority. Paul says it like this in 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Every good work, not some, not most, but every good work. And all of it is inspired by God. All of it is useful. So as an evangelical Christian, I start from this place that's so different than where a Mormon starts. For the Mormon, if you believe that the text has been corrupted by a shadowy ancient conspiracy, then the Bible ceases to be the anchor. It becomes a stepping stone. It becomes a starter pack, I guess you could say. And that creates a vacuum. If the Bible is broken, who fixes it? Enter the prophet in Mormonism. This is where things get really interesting and honestly a little bold. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, didn't just claim to find a new book, the Book of Mormon. He claimed the authority to fix the old book, the Bible. He actually produced what is known as the JST, the Joseph Smith Translation. Now, hang on a second. When Christians say translation, we mean a scholar sitting in a dusty room with Greek manuscripts, with Hebrew scrolls and lexicons, painstakingly converting ancient text into English. But when Mormons say translation, when the Joseph Smith translation, quote unquote, was written, they're actually using, once again, a different word altogether. See, Joseph Smith didn't know Greek. He didn't know Hebrew. He didn't have any ancient manuscripts. He literally just had a King James Bible and a pen. Now, Christians would call that a paraphrase. Like, I could write a paraphrase if I wanted to. I could take my Bible, any version I wanted to in English, and I could kind of just write it in my own language, in my own way, and that's fine. It probably wouldn't sell anything, but that's called a paraphrase because I'm not a scholar. I'm not a translator working off of the original languages. So when anyone does that, they can produce a paraphrase, but it's not a translation. Joseph Smith, when he went through the Bible, he claimed the Holy Spirit told him what the original text should have said before those, quote, abominable monks deleted it. And guys, he didn't just change a word here or there. He added thousands of words and took away whole parts of scripture. Like, for example, and I just literally just found this out the other day, that actually Mormons don't view the Song of Solomon, which is in our Bibles, in the Old Testament, they don't view it as inspired by God. The reason for this is because Joseph Smith explicitly stated during his translation of the Bible, the JST, that the Song of Solomon is not inspired writing. Mormon apostle Bruce R. McConkie actually called it biblical trash. Some of the members refer to it as uninspired. Now, I'm not really sure if it shows up in Mormon quads, right? The Mormons that have those big, thick, Bible-looking things that have the Bible, the Book of Mormon, and the other standard works. But it probably, my guess is, maybe you can put it in the comments below, those of you who have your quads still, I think it's probably still in your quad because the quad contains the King James Version, not the JST. So I'm sure the JST doesn't have the Song of Solomon, along with a lot of other stuff that Joseph Smith deleted. But the King James Version, I'm sure, still has to have the Song of Solomon. That's just my best guess. So again, that's just one example of the problem with a spiritual leader claiming to be a prophet. If you're making those claims, then basically you're saying, I can tell you what's true and what's not true, and I can add and delete books of the Bible, verses from the Bible. Like, it's seriously, it's a big problem. It's a major problem. Like, there's no way that a church with a leader like that can be consistent. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Mormon church has so many different flavors in the world today. You've got the mainline Mormon church, you've got all these fundamentalist Mormon churches. And I know the mainline Mormons, you know, the regular Mormons out there, the friends that we all have, I know they say, well, the other guys are wrong. But what I would say is, well, the other guys look more like Joseph Smith's version than the mainline church does today, because the mainline church is trying to look more and more Christian. But let me give you the wildest example. It's probably one of the wildest examples of the problem with Joseph Smith's translation and his view of himself as a prophet and his view of the Bible as not being translated correctly. If you open a standard Bible to Genesis 50 in the Old Testament, it ends with the death of Joseph, you know, the coat of many colors guy. It's about 26 verses long. In the JST, the Joseph Smith translation, Genesis 50 is significantly longer. Why? Because Joseph Smith added a prophecy about himself. He adds verses where Joseph of Egypt predicts that in the latter days, a choice seer will be raised up. And guess what his name will be? The text says that his name will be Joseph and that his father's name will be Joseph. Now, if you didn't know it, Joseph Smith is a junior, so that means that his dad is Joseph Smith Sr. And so once again, this is seriously problematic. I mean, think about it in American history. Imagine if I handed you a copy of the Constitution. I said, hey, I realized that this was translated incorrectly, so I fixed it. And you looked at it, and I've added a clause that says, in the year 2026, a podcaster named Brian Dwyer will inevitably be declared king of Utah. You'd call me crazy. You'd say I was tampering with the evidence. But for the LDS believer, this is seen as restoring lost truth. And again, here's the problem. This completely shifts the seat of authority. In Christianity, the text judges the teacher, right? The Bible is the judge, not the prophet or the teacher. If I teach you something that contradicts the book of Romans, for example, you should throw me out. This is exactly what I tell my church at Alpine Church, is if anybody gets up here and tries to take authority over scripture, throw them out. But in Mormonism, the teacher judges the text. If the Bible contradicts Joseph Smith, then Joseph Smith edits the Bible. And that is a seismic shift in worldview. So we've got a broken Bible and a prophet who fixes it. And this leads to what I call the Mormon canon hierarchy. Canon is like a fancy word for what religious people believe should be authoritative, which books. And so in Christianity, we believe in the Bible. That's it. The 66 books of the Bible, those are the only part of the canon. So Christians would say that the canon is closed. That's how we say that. Nobody's going to add a 67th book. Doesn't matter what they say or how much they try to convince you that God spoke to them, the canon is closed. But the LDS church has four standard works: the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. Now, in theory, they're all the Word of God, but in practice, it's more like a ladder. Mormons claim that the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. Joseph Smith said, a man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. But here's the irony, and this is a detail in the middle that a lot of people miss. A lot of Mormons miss. Again, if you're listening and you're kind of on the fence as a Mormon, I really hope that you'll listen to this next part. The Book of Mormon actually contains very little unique Mormon theology. It doesn't teach about temple marriage. It doesn't teach about God having a physical body. And it doesn't teach about three levels of heaven. It's actually fairly Protestant in its theology. Now, I'm not saying that the Book of Mormon is accurate. I'm just saying that when Joseph Smith first wrote the Book of Mormon, he was a lot more Christian than the later version of Joseph Smith, and certainly than Brigham Young and the other leaders in the Mormon church after Joseph Smith. Now, this stuff like polygamy and becoming gods and baptism for the dead, like that's really distinctive, but it's not in the Book of Mormon. It's only found in the Doctrine and Covenants. So when a conflict arises, here is the order of operations for a Latter-day Saint. Now, I encourage you, if you're a Mormon or if you come out of Mormonism, like put it in the comments if you think I've got this wrong, but this is how I see it. Number one, a living prophet's current statement trumps everything. Number two, going down the ladder, the Doctrine and Covenants trumps the Book of Mormon. Now, I know you might say, well, wait a second. No, the Book of Mormon is the most correct book ever written, but really in practice, doctrinally, because the Doctrine and Covenants came after the Book of Mormon, in other words, it was revelation subsequent to the Book of Mormon, just like, in a sense, the Book of Mormon was better than the Bible in a Mormon's view, well, then it kind of makes sense that the Doctrine and Covenants, since it's the newer revelation, is better than the Book of Mormon. And again, the Doctrine and Covenants is the scripture that has all this really distinctive Mormon stuff. So back to our ladder. Living prophets, number one, Doctrine and Covenants, number two, Book of Mormon, number three. The Book of Mormon trumps the Bible. So the Bible sits at the bottom. It's loved, but it's monitored. It's read, but with an asterisk. Now, why do Christians believe in a closed canon? Well, there are a lot of reasons, but I'll just give you one. It's because we believe that the story of the gospel, the story of salvation history, God's interaction with humanity and his rescue plan for sinners, we believe that that's done. The story is finished. It's a beautiful story, and the story is finished. Hebrews 1 says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets, and now in these final days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So for me as a Christian, Jesus was the mic drop. He wasn't the opening act for Joseph Smith. He was the finale. The apostles were the ones who wrote down what Jesus accomplished, but we don't need more books because we don't need a new Savior. Mormonism says, no, the line is still open. And because the line is open, God can change his mind. This is why Mormon doctrines can evolve so rapidly, because the Bible isn't the anchor. The current president, the current prophet of the church, the Mormon church, is the anchor. He's the living prophet. He's the one that can speak authoritatively for God as far as Mormons are concerned. And once again, that's really dangerous. Now, I want to land this plane on the person of Jesus, because that's what we like to do around here. If you have a different Bible, eventually you'll get a different Jesus. In the Bible, the one validated by thousands of ancient manuscripts, Jesus is the creator. John 1:3 says, God created everything through him. Nothing was created except through him. That means Jesus is uncreated. He's God, capital G. In the LDS worldview, supported by their extra scriptures, Jesus is the firstborn spirit child of Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. That's right. Maybe you didn't realize this. I know a lot of Christians that listen to this podcast are listening to it to try to understand Mormonism. And a lot of people approach Mormons as if they were just another denomination. But let me just say that again. I want you to hear that once again, because there are no other Christian denominations that believe that Jesus is the firstborn spirit child of Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. There are no other denominations that would dare say that that Jesus is literally the older brother of you and of me and even of Lucifer, Satan himself. I want you to let that sink in. In the Bible, Jesus created Lucifer. God is the creator of everything that we see. Lucifer was an angel. Jesus is so far above the angels. Just read the book of Hebrews and you'll see that. In Mormonism, Jesus and Lucifer are brothers who presented different plans to God the Father in a premortal council, and God thought Jesus's idea was better than Lucifer's idea. And so in Mormonism, Jesus and Lucifer are like on an even playing field, and that is so, so wrong. The Bible says that Jesus is God, always was, always will be. The LDS church says that Jesus is a created being who eventually progressed to godhood. So when you strip the Bible of its final authority, you lose the ability to defend the true nature of Jesus. You end up with a Jesus who's a good example. He's a savior figure, but ultimately he's just a more advanced version of us. And friends, I really want you to hear this, Mormons especially. A savior who is just like us, but just a little bit better, is not powerful enough to save us. We need Jesus to be God. And Jesus isn't God because we need it. Jesus is God because the Bible says that he is. So when a prophet shows up and claims something different, run away, reject it, run to the truth of God's word, because it wasn't translated incorrectly. God is not that weak that somehow he lost control of these translators over the years so that generations of human beings did not have access to his truth. That's just not consistent with the God of the Bible. You can trust the God of the Bible, and therefore you can trust the Bible. So let's circle back to where we started. You're talking to a Mormon friend or a missionary, and they say, I love the Bible. Now you know what that means. You know about the asterisk. You know they believe it's missing the plain and precious parts. You know that they believe it needs Joseph Smith's edits to be complete. Here's your takeaway. The Bible doesn't need to be fixed. It has withstood the scrutiny of history, of archaeology, textual criticism for 2,000 years. We have 5,800 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament. Do you know how many we have for the Book of Mormon? Zero. We don't even have the gold plates. We have no Reformed Egyptian grammar books. The Book of Mormon is the one that should have the asterisk, clearly, not the Bible. So here's what I want you to do this week. If you have an LDS friend, ask them this simple question. When the Bible and the Book of Mormon disagree, which one wins? And don't argue, just listen. Let them feel the weight of that hierarchy. And then just simply invite them to read the Bible with you. Maybe start with the Book of John and just the Bible. No footnotes, no Joseph Smith translation. It's fine to read the King James Version with them. That's great. But just let the Word of God do what it does best. Let it speak for itself. Because as Paul told Timothy, it is sufficient. The Bible is enough. Hey friends, before you go, could I encourage you, if you've never done it before, to rate this podcast? If you're listening on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts especially, this is a really helpful way for more people to learn about the Pursue God podcasts. Now, if you don't know how to do this, you might need to dig around a little bit on your phone or on your computer when you're on the Spotify app or the Apple Podcasts app. Or the last resort is, for you older folks like me, just ask somebody younger to say, hey, how do I rate this show? Give it a 5-star rating and even leave a review there if you can. And again, that's going to help more people discover these helpful podcasts. Thanks for listening and thanks for your rating.